does a snail can go and
Okay.
draw out every single word? All right.
Okay. I have some.
The tension in the crowd did increase, however. The game progressed without Japan scoring any goals. 10 minutes before the end of the match, the score was a disappointing 1-0 for Iran. All right. And the second time, you're gonna go as absolutely fast as you can go. Read it as
Same
fast as
part,
you can
same piece.
go.
Okay.
Same piece.
The tension in the crowd did increase. However, the game progressed without Japan scoring any goals. 10 minutes before the end of the match, the score was a disappointing 1-0 for Iran.
Okay. Did you feel, and maybe just with that sentence, it might not completely illuminate the places where those tactics would emphasize energy in the way that it might throughout the whole piece. But it changes the way that that comes across, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it does. Like a commentator, right? Like a cricket commentator. You know how fast they go? They go, roo, roo, roo.
Yeah, or an auctioneer.
Yeah, an auctioneer, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I heard also in the second read was it sounded very, very journalism, very sports journalism, right? I'm unfamiliar with cricket, but
Like in the olden days when you'd listen to commentary on the radio and you were like glued to the radio because you can't see anything. So the voice is all that matters, right? Keeps you glued to the radio is the voice, right? And the tempo of the whole thing too.
Exactly. And so being able to play with those tensions, right? And obviously we exaggerated those tensions by drawing it out way slower than you would ever speak, and speeding it up way faster than you would ever speak in terms of delivering, but that it changes the voice, right? And can really add a lot of drama to something that is still written in one voice.
You want to hear? Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, do you want to read a little bit more and incorporate some of the slow and some of the fast in places where you feel like they might help the story along, and we'll listen again.
This part is a very tense part of the writing. So perhaps a lot of it needs to be fast. Okay, let me try the next couple of sentences. Okay. Then Japan scored just before the final whistle. The game ended in a 1-1 tie, guaranteeing a rematch. The crowd erupted into a giant roar. All discipline and polite self-control disappeared. A tide of pent-up energy was released. The entire crowd threw their hands in the air, and I heard them all burst into English as they chanted the team slogan, "We are Reds, we are Reds."
And you can feel that, right?
Yeah. Mm. You can feel the tension and the excitement.
Yeah, way more than on the first the first go round. So, yeah.
I felt I was you were carrying us along. I felt like I was in the crowd. Okay.
Neil brought Chris something. Has turned into an alien now over there. and a pirate in Janine. Great. Thank you for volunteering to go first and
no worries.
And read. Neil, you're jumping and throwing your hat in the ring, so to speak.
I have three pieces that you can choose for. I got a 2.5 minute happy poem, a 3.5 minute not so happy poem, and an 8 minute short story.
Well, I think, you know, likewise, we'll just do a little portion to illuminate how that same kind of principle works, even with poetry. And so, let's do a couple of stanzas of the poem. Maybe not the whole thing, but you choose.
I have a question about this. I find it very. To me, it's interesting that as we express ourselves differently, it gives a different impression. At the same time, I'm worried about the loss of the context of a poem or a writing by constantly picking it apart.
I tell you what, I've got a poem called The Yellow Umbrella, and it's 2.5 minutes. So can we do that? Two and a half minutes.
Yeah.
The Yellow Umbrella. The gloom of the morning clouds set the mood of the day. I sat at the bus stop, huddled against the cold morning wind, bemoaning the fact the gray gloom permeated all. It had rained all night, settled into a drizzly morning mist, occasionally expanding into a miniature cloudburst that chilled the bones and mimicked the heaviness that gripped my heart. The useless effort with diet and exercise to regain my health, the frustrating and seemingly impossible task to achieve my financial goals, the gloom of the day, a perfect match of the resident misery in my mind. Down the street, a ray of yellow sunshine emerged from the swirling morning mist, a bright yellow umbrella carried by a child of indeterminate age, dressed in a bright yellow raincoat with matching cap and boots, a miniature version of a warm, loving son intent on stomping up the biggest puddle splash. I'm having a moment's difficulty with the computer. There we are. Stomping up the biggest puddle splash. And she splashed, and as she splashed, she sang, "Sing a song of sunshine, be happy every day. Sing a song of sunshine, you'll chase the clouds away. Be happy every moment, no matter what you do. Just sing a song of sunshine and let the sunshine through." Splash, 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 she splashed her way down the street. And as the yellow umbrella disappeared into the morning misty rain, I swear to you, I saw a beam of sunshine splash, splash, splashing down the street beside her. Ta-da.
Lovely, thank you.
I heard Jeannie's comment that half a poem is not worth it. Thank you, Jeannie.
And yes, I absolutely, half a poem doesn't give you the whole flavor. What I want to tackle in a way, I guess, is again, like, how do you add certain emphasis to the words to give it more drama? And so, like Leslie, although not like Leslie, what I hear in your poem, Neil, is more dynamic range in terms of, like,
really down in this deep voice from your gut, right? Like, bringing that so deep voice in, and reading a little bit, maybe not the whole poem, with that super as deep as you can get, and then to contrast that with a more falsetto voice, and where those aspects come in. So do you want to give us another read of just, you know, maybe a stanza or two with each of those?
Well, I tried to convey the idea of heaviness at the outset, because I want to brighten the I want to go from heavy to the, and I sing the little girl's phrases, you know. It's like,
totally, yeah. And I'm just wondering how we can even take that and exaggerate it and stretch it even into more, right? Like, let's see how, if we can maximize that feeling. How can we maximize that? Because I hear that in my voice with what you're already doing, which is amazing.
I normally would read that poem slower, but I feel like I'm under pressure because you only want a few seconds of it. But I do tend to slow my reading down when I'm in the environment. So just give me 1 second to load it up, and I would say, the gloom of the day was a perfect match for the resident misery in my mind. Down the street, a ray of yellow sunshine emerged from the swirling morning mist. A bright yellow umbrella carried by a child of indeterminate age. Dressed in a bright yellow raincoat with matching cap and boots, a miniature version of a warm, loving son intent on stomping up the biggest puddle splash. And as she splashed, she sang, sing a song of sunshine, be happy every day. Sing a song of sunshine, you'll chase the clouds away. Be happy every moment, no matter what you do. Just sing a song of sunshine and let the sunshine through.
Wow, big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you hear that?
Yes. I did. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes it's really subtle, right?
Yes. Is that like a basically singing with emotion, basically, right?
Yes, I think so.
Singing with feelings, like the first part of the poem is like depressing and heavy rain and mist and fog and, and the feeling and the person whoever is very down and depressed, right? Things that part of it would come with a lot of emotion of that, and then the second part would be like lighthearted, right? You know,
Prafulla, I think it's not reading it, it's feeling it.
Yes, feeling.
The first reading sounded like a monologue. The second one has layers into it. I don't know much about this. This is something new to me again. And I think when you read something like that, especially in Neil's poem just now, there's a gloom side of it, and there's a yellow umbrella, and there's a happy and sad. So I think you really have to tune into every word, what you're saying, and feel it. Feel it in the heart, as opposed to just reading it.
Yeah,
and that's what these exercises help us to tap into, right? Because when we slow ourselves right down or we speed ourselves right up, it connects us to different sort of modalities in our bodies, and we feel differently about the expression of those things, you know? If we speak more gruffly or we speak more shrill, all of a sudden it changes what that emotionality is and how those feelings are felt in our own bodies, but then also transmitted or translated to our audience, who is ultimately the folks that we're trying to please, right? It's not enough for us to just think of how we want to read it. We need to think about how it's being received by the people who are in our audience, which is ultimately the purpose of presentation. You know, we can create all the art that we want, but you know, if it's lacking in the receiving, then how do we fill that gap?
It's the same as absolutely everything we do. It's the presentation that counts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And just to connect to, I don't know whether you can see this sheet because I have a screensaver on, but it's a list. There's 12 shows. It's your radio show could be here, Unfilled Spots on CJSF. So in working to move beyond, when we first, like I'm a poet and writer, we hear things with the writer's voice, but then these exercises help you take it to another dimension. So I think Chris was another person, I think, that brought something to do the exercise with Robin.
Yeah, Chris?
Yeah, mine is different again. Let me just get it here. When will Dad be back? She asked as she sat waiting on the steps. I have no idea. You know your dad. Yes, she did. Every year it was the same thing. The family vacation was always delayed by about one day. This year it was the same deal. He knew yesterday. Why can't he be ready? He makes me so mad. I just have to go back to work to clear my desk, dear, Dad said at the end of breakfast. She knew that when he got back, he would have to go and get the car ready, check the oil, the tires, fill with gas. We were always left waiting for him. Why? We only had 1 week, for heaven's sake.
Great, thank you.
There's more, obviously, but that's the first part.
Yeah. What I want to hear in the child's voice is I don't know how to explain it exactly, but I almost, I want you to try to read it almost like you're going to have a temper tantrum.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
I think I can do that. When will Dad be back? She asked as she sat waiting on the steps. I have no idea. You know your dad. Yes, she did. Every year it was the same bloody thing. The family vacation was always delayed by about one day. This year it was the same deal. He knew yesterday. Why can't he ever be ready? He makes me so mad.
Right?
That was 100% improvement. That was fabulous, Chris.
Because you kind of want to hear that little girl's feet stomping on the ground, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
I can
just
do that,
right? Exasperation about anger, a dad.
Yeah, frustration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, what would partner with that and to really exaggerate that exasperation is to make the dad's voice slow, right? And so that tension of the daughter being all, you know, energetic. And, you know, like, why can't we just go already, you know? And the dad just being pokey.
Oh, yes. Always pokey.
Yeah. And then you can feel how those characters in that story become more personified through not just the words, because the words definitely give you that level of personification, but also through different ways of vocalizing through reading. And, you know, a lot of it is just trying out these little tactics, because really they're just they're just ways of sort of playing with the text or with the poetry to add different energy to it. You know, whether it's anger or happiness or you know, a certain politeness maybe, or you know, you can play with even the opposites. You know, like what would happen in your poem, Neil, if you read the girly part, the sunny part, with this real like gruff, grr, I'm a miserable old guy, and you know, I'm floating with the umbrella and it doesn't make any sense at all. But you know, it might give this sort of this mirror flavor to the characters that you're creating by playing within that line and with that tension in kind of a strange way. And likewise with the dad and the daughter there in your story too, Chris, right? Like what if the dad all of a sudden was the one who was kind of temper tantrumy, and the daughter was like, oh, but we just have all the time in the world and I'm just going to check the oil and, you know.
What I learned from you with that exercise is that the drama in the words has got to be emphasized. And so is the guy has got a, you know, life is shit in a bucket. And the little girl is saying, hey, it's a joy to be alive. And yeah, to put that drama into the poem,
mm-hmm,
as I read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you coach me on the speed, Robin, I'd always sort of learned that when you read something, you read it fairly slowly and make sure you enunciate and that you don't read quickly. And so that was something that I hadn't done before, was think about the speed to add energy, to add excitement.
Yeah.
Did someone else bring something they wanted to test, play with?
Yeah, I have one.
Okay, Delsa. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Now I'm...
Go for it, Delsa.
Okay, hold on. This poem is inspired by this. Neil, do you recognize that?
Oh, great.
Neil,
from Neil, the other side.
Page 87, about the monk. Right? About the monk. I wrote a poetry about a Buddhist monk. It's not the same monk, because the way Neil wrote that story is in a different perspective. My poetry is based on one-on-one experience with a Buddhist monk friend. So this is actually a story that I have written 2-3 years ago that I changed to a poem. Here we go. A forest monk, oh God, please. He never wanted to be a Buddhist monk. It's an ancient tradition. To spare a son out of 9 is such a big honor in Buddha land. He renounces his family and friends, look for total strangers to replace them. Is it not weird and strange? I asked him one day. He wears a bright saffron robe, no buttons, no zipper, no belt to hold it close. He walks barefoot, eat with his hands. Simplicity, his Siddhartha Gautama commands. The monk claims to be celibate. For a man is the ultimate sacrifice compared to none. He says, doesn't bother me. Can't miss it if you never had it even once. My monk friends always says, we suffer because we're born. We die for the same reason. Don't dare say other reasons, for there's none. Life is full of sufferings, the monk declares. At birth, we came out suffering, crying, gasping for fresh breath of fresh air. All through life, we suffered more. We don't know who we really are. Our family and friends suffer and cry when we die. They cling to us, that's why. The monk says, we cling to everything in sight called attachment, a big word in Islam. When you cling to anything and everything, you gain nothing. So you let go. You let go. You let go. It's the only way to go.
Nice.
I don't know if whether I really...
Like the last
of how a Buddhist monk speaks.
Cool. I'm going to give you an exercise to try out, Delsa. And what I want you to try is to read as well as you can and shake your head like no.
Oh,
oh. No.
No buttons. No zipper.
No.
No belt.
Right?
No. Okay. Let me exercise my neck.
You can do both at the same time.
Okay.
I know it might be challenging, but try your best.
Let me try that part, Robin. He wears a bright saffron robe. No buttons. No zipper, no belt to hold it close. He walks barefoot, eat with his hands. Simplicity, his Siddhartha Gautama commands.
Keep shaking your head. No, 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 no.
Gonna
no.
Get the...
That's good.
Neil, did you like this interpretation of a Buddhist monk, how I related to him like one-on-one? Like this poem is like a personal experience with him. Yeah.
This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the Place to Be, CJSF Radio 90.1 at Burnaby. This morning, you've been listening to the Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon show. I want to acknowledge that show takes place on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. It is something that we are in line with in the station, and seeing that the 91 Accords and reconciliation issues occur and happen within our lifetime. look forward to see you again next week at 10. But remember, whenever people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time.